Hillary Clinton has warned Australia to be wary of potential Chinese interference in political decision-making. In an interview with 7:30 last night, you may have seen it, the former US Secretary of State and US presidential candidate drew parallels between Russia's alleged involvement in the latest US election and China's relationship with Australia and this region. She said Australia and other liberal democracies must take the threat of foreign interference seriously.
That is not to argue that there be a confrontational relationship between Australia and China. Australia has a lot of interests with China. Certainly your economy is intertwined with China. But I do think that Australia, along with other liberal democracies around the world, have got to take the threat of foreign interference seriously.
As former US Secretary of State and presidential candidate Hillary Clinton speaking on 7:30 overnight, the warning comes as a new report to the US State Department suggests that China's billions of dollars of infrastructure funding in the Pacific is creating a region indebted to Beijing. It says China is using so-called debt book diplomacy to erode the strategic advantages of the US and its allies in the Asia Pacific. Well, Jonathan Pryke is director of the Lowy Institute's Pacific Islands program. Can I ask you about Hillary Clinton's warning there, Jonathan, that Australia needs to be more vigilant? Are we underplaying it? I mean, it's not as if we're not having this conversation in Australia at the moment.
Yeah, I think, and thanks for having me, Hamish. I think we are actually overplaying it in many ways. This debt book diplomacy or the debt trap that we're seeing in the Pacific is probably a bit too overblown. I mean, yes, there are some countries in the Pacific that do have high levels of debt, and a proportion of which is owed to China. But they're not really approaching the debt distress wall. They can pay back these loans. They will be tough to pay back, and the preference, of course, would be to not have to pay them back. So I'm not saying that there isn't leverage that can be used there, but they're not in this position where there is no option but to just kowtow to China. I think that's just far too simplistic a narrative. These countries have agency. They protect their sovereignty quite fiercely, and they're not in this position of debt of this debt trap where they have no way out.
I just wanted to ask you about those Hillary Clinton comments, though, because they're pretty provocative. I would suggest that in comparing China to Russia in terms of their desire to interfere in democratic politics. I mean, do you see those parallels, whether it be in the Pacific or just in Australia?
Well, there's certainly that concern. I mean, it's part of the narrative that has been playing out in Australia for more than a year now. So I think even if, particularly in Australia, there is concern, I think greater concern about interference than we're seeing in the Pacific. I know China is working hard to build its formal and diplomatic relations with the elites within the Pacific. So certainly they are trying to build and strengthen their relationships. But when it comes to interference domestically in the Pacific, they're very clear that they want to have a benign presence in the region. But that can change very quickly. So, I think we do need to be vigilant. But I also think it's we need to be careful not to be too alarmist.
So let's try and understand what the relationship is between China and these Pacific Island nations. This report points to Vanuatu, saying it's deeply in debt and that China is positioning itself to capitalize on the impending fiscal distress of Pacific Island countries. What does that look like? How does that manifest?
Yeah, so China has a formal relationship with 8 countries in the Pacific. The remaining have relationships with Taiwan. And they have really ramped up their engagement in the Pacific in a significant way since 2006. The Lowy Institute has been tracking this engagement through their foreign aid program and shows and has found that China has given close to $1.8 billion to these 8 countries in the Pacific between 2006 and 2016. So that would put them anywhere in between the top 3 to 5 donors to the Pacific Islands region, which is clearly significant. The Pacific is a pretty benign place geostrategically, and the aid dynamics have remained pretty static for a long time. So China coming in has really been quite disruptive. But when you look, and so what do these debt situations look like? Well, the real hotspots in the Pacific are Tonga, Vanuatu, and Samoa. And the two that have been the press the most this year, Vanuatu and Tonga, well, they have a debt-to-GDP ratio of roughly 50%. And in Vanuatu's case, only a third of that debt is held by China. And in Tonga's case, two-thirds of that debt is held by China. the IMF has warned that these countries are approaching debt distress and that it will be difficult for them to pay back these loans, but not impossible. And yes, as I said before, clearly the preference would be for them to not have to pay back these loans or for the loans to be loan repayments to be further deferred. But they are in a position to be able to pay them back, but it will cost them.
So has China forgiven debt in the Pacific before?
Not to this stage, to our knowledge. I mean, I'm not denying that it is a nice piece of economic leverage for them to hold over these countries to support them in various debates and that really don't affect these countries too much domestically.
Are you talking about Taiwan? Because you made the point at the beginning of this conversation that those that are not aligned with China or have these relationships with China are aligned with Taiwan. Is that what
this
is about?
That's right. Yeah. So that's one element. Is that Taiwan, and that these countries have to have no formal relationship and support China and its one China policy. But that, you know, there, we've seen other flashpoints where China's called for support from its diplomatic and aid networks, and the most notable one being the South China Sea arbitration last year. Many of the countries in the Pacific supported China's position on the South China Sea arbitration because, frankly, they don't really have much skin in the game in that argument. But I think it's a whole new conversation when you talk about the prospect of setting up military bases, as we've seen the discussion turn to on Vanuatu this year.
I've got to say, having covered these sorts of stories in the Pacific, in Southeast Asia, places like East Timor, as well as parts of Africa, it is often said, sort of loosely, that some of these countries prefer to do business with China because there are no strings attached in the way that Australia or the United States or Europe might ask for certain commitments to human rights or environmental standards. But interestingly, in reading this report, there are quite a few strings attached to Chinese aid and Chinese borrowing.
Yeah, well, the strings are much more... political, I guess, and foreign policy related than with regards to the project themselves. So Australia, New Zealand, the United States and other traditional donors have been doing development for a long time and have developed pretty stringent processes and, yeah, a lot of red tape to get projects delivered. And frankly, there's just a lot of projects that they're not interested in doing. So China is happy to. China says that they are a demand-driven aid program. And so when a country in the Pacific comes and asks for a status project like a convention center or a large government building, China will say yes, whereas it's very unlikely that Australia or New Zealand or any other traditional donor would see value in that sort of aid investment.
And interestingly, Australia is still a long way ahead in terms of its contribution to the region than what China is.
Absolutely. This $1.8 billion that we've identified from China, over that same period, just to these same countries, Australia has given almost four times that amount. And I'll note that Chinese aid, about three quarters of that comes in the form of loans, and whereas Australian aid is all in the form of grants. It's a one-way payment. They don't have to pay it back. So in many ways, you could see that as being a more valuable investment than a loan. So the issue with one of the big issues with the narrative on China this year is we forget that the role that Australia has to play in the region. We should be doing a lot more soul searching and looking at what we're doing with our aid investments, what we're doing in our diplomatic relationships, okay, what we're doing across the board in the Pacific.
Jonathan Pryke, we will have to leave it there. We've got to get to the news. Thanks very much for your
time
this morning.
Thanks, Hamish.
Jonathan Pryke is Director of the Lowy Institute's Pacific Islands Program.